You've got a Bible with you, if you'd turn please to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll just pray while you're turning to that. I'll pray for God's word this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight again, Lord God, you're very clear from your word. You don't mix your words, Lord God. You don't miss and hit the wall. When you've got something to say, Lord God, you say it so clearly that people are left without any shadow of doubt. And tonight, Lord God, this message should leave people in no doubt whatsoever about where they will spend eternity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, please, please, Almighty God, take your word tonight, Lord God, and level it against each of us, so that, Lord God, it confronts us to the very core of our beings, Lord God. So that we will, without any doubt, Lord God, settle the question, what have we done with Jesus? Lord, please, tonight, we ask that you would be glorified as your word is proclaimed. We make no apologies for your word. And although people will be offended by what they hear, Lord, help them to realize this is the Word of God, and the Word of God abides forever. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing in our series, The Return of the Man Who Never Came Back, and I said last week about the Apostle John in the book of Revelation in chapter 22 and verse 11. He suggests, and I'm saying suggest, you need to read it for yourself and see if I'm right, but John suggests that the condition people are found in when Jesus returns will be the condition they shall remain in for all eternity. And I was joking about my friend who said, if Jesus returns while she was at a Van Morrison gig, she said she was just going to stub out the cigarette with one hand and hold the glass behind her back in the other. But that won't wash. The condition people are found in when Jesus returns will be the condition they will remain in for eternity. And so John says, the unjust, the filthy, that is, those who are not justified or cleansed from sin, will remain unjust and filthy. While the righteous and holy, those who have been justified by faith in Jesus and have received forgiveness and cleansing from sin, they shall remain righteous and holy. The condition people are found in when Jesus returns will be the condition they remain in for eternity. What condition are you in should Jesus return? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Well, the Belfast-born writer and lay theologian C.S. Lewis, better known for being the author of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and The Chronicles of Narnia and many, many other books, C.S. Lewis said these words, "No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear. No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear." I've conducted a lot of funerals. In fact, I was asked just yesterday or the day before to do another funeral, and I had to say no, someone in the community here who died in recent days. And I've conducted a lot of funerals, and I have witnessed grief in many various forms. And while grief itself is part of the healing process, it can also be a terrible, terrible thing. I am all too aware, on a personal level, I am all too aware of people who have lost a loved one and they have taken their own lives because they couldn't face life without that other person. I have seen people become so angry at the death of a loved one that as a result of their anger, they have lashed out at other people. I have witnessed others become so withdrawn and isolate themselves or turn to drink or drugs or even promiscuity as a means of coping with grief. And yet others seem more accepting of what has happened and try to go through that process of grief and try to process their grief. Grief at the loss of a loved one affects people differently. And for C.S. Lewis, he said, "No one ever told me grief felt so like fear." Well, to put my subject in context tonight, a number of Christians in the church at Thessalonica were concerned about loved ones who had died. And this is a reality in every generation. It's a reality almost every funeral that I have to conduct, where people are concerned about, where is my loved one? It's a reality in every generation. It's a reality in every society. It is a reality in every walk of life. When a loved one dies, what happens? Grief can tear people apart as they struggle to come to terms with the death and the thought of continuing to live without that loved one. I've had family members come to me, pleading with me, broken-hearted family members, grasping for any inkling whatsoever, any inkling of hope that all is well with their loved one who has died. Believe me, for someone like me, it requires a lot of sensitivity and emotional diplomacy to speak the truth in love in these situations. All of our religious beliefs, or lack of them, are brought into question when a loved one dies. But to answer the Thessalonians Christians' questions about their dead loved ones, the Apostle Paul wrote the following words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading from verse 13. Paul says this: "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Paul speaks about sleep as a euphemism for death, much like we would say. Paul speaks about people who are asleep or asleep in Jesus. He uses it as a euphemism, much like we would say someone has passed away, or someone has kicked the bucket, or someone is pushing up the daisies. Sleep was the term that they were using as a euphemism for death. And when Paul speaks of those who have fallen asleep or those who are asleep in Jesus, he simply means those Christians who have died. But this evening, I want to give you my understanding of Paul's words to the Thessalonians. Now, I emphasize this is my understanding of Paul's words, but I would say to you, go and read the passage for yourself. In fact, go and get the whole counsel of God on this subject. Read the Word of God on this subject. But I'm going to give you my understanding of Paul's words to the Thessalonians. And this is what I believe Paul is saying. He's saying this: I want to tell you something about dead Christians. That is, those who believed Jesus died and rose again, so that you won't be overwhelmed with grief like the unbelievers who have no hope of a future life. Paul wants to tell these people something about dead Christians that he believes will help them not to be overwhelmed by grief. Grief has the power to completely overwhelm people to the point that it will even overwhelm them and make them take their own lives. This is the power of grief. If it is not managed properly, if it is not processed properly, it has the power to end people's lives. And Paul wants to tell the Thessalonian Christians something about their dead Christian relatives, so that that will help them not to be overwhelmed with grief. But he adds, so that you won't be overwhelmed with grief like the unbelievers who have no hope of a future life. By this statement, I believe Paul makes two things very, very clear, and we need to hear these tonight. Living unbelievers who are still alive right at this moment, people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, who do not believe that Jesus Christ was crucified to pay the price for sin, who do not believe that he died, that he was laid in a tomb, and that he was raised again from the dead. Living unbelievers who go on in a state of unbelief have no hope whatsoever of a future life. And the second point that Paul makes here is unbelievers who have died have no hope of a future life. We know that people will exist after this life, but if they die without Christ, their existence will be in hell. But they have no hope of a future life. Paul is clear on this, and I make no apologies for what the Word of God says. Living unbelievers, people alive now who refuse to believe the gospel, who refuse to believe in Jesus, that if you go on in that state of unbelief, you have no hope whatsoever of a future life. And unbelievers, no matter how much you gurn about it, no matter how many mass cards you buy for it, no matter how many candles you light on their behalf, unbelievers who have died have no hope of a future life. It's no wonder C.S. Lewis said, "No one ever told me grief felt so like fear." Imagine for a moment, if you dare, imagine for a moment, if you can, the fear fused with grief if you believed a loved one died in a state of unbelief. None of us can say for sure in what state a person dies. We don't know that person's entire life. We can guess that they died in a state of unbelief because of how they lived, but we don't know their entire life, but God does. And when they stand before Almighty God, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And if they have died in a state of unbelief, there is no hope of a future life. The condition or state you're in at death or when Jesus returns will be the condition or state you'll remain in for eternity. There's no hope of a future life for those who die in a state of unbelief. So what did Paul say to the Thessalonian Christians about their dead loved ones? Well, I believe what Paul tells them is this, and please read the verses yourself to see. Paul tells them this: if their dead loved one, if their loved ones died as Christians, they are with the Lord. How incredible. If they died as Christians, they are presently with the Lord. Somewhere else Paul says they are absent from the body, present with the Lord. I believe what Paul tells them is this: when Jesus returns, their loved ones will return with him. Now, for them to be able to return with Jesus, they must already be in his presence. So he's telling the Thessalonian Christians who were concerned about their dead loved ones that they are already with Jesus, and when Jesus returns, they will return with him. And in a moment, those returning believers coming back with Jesus, in a moment, the loved ones will receive new resurrection bodies. The dead in Christ will rise first. That's not talking about the Church of Ireland. It's talking about believers who are currently with Jesus. The dead in Christ will rise first. In other words, they will be the first to get their new resurrection bodies as they are returning with Jesus. And then Paul says, and those believers who are alive when Jesus returns will be instantly transformed and will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And finally he says, and we shall be forever with the Lord. Isn't that incredible? I just think it's amazing. I remember seeing a t-shirt, and on the t-shirt was just this big cloud on the top of the t-shirt, and underneath was just these feet going through the cloud, and all you could see and written underneath is, boy, did you hear that trumpet. As the trumpet was sounded and woof, people went up. What wonderful, wonderful words of comfort for those who've lost loved ones that trusted in Jesus. Did your wife die in Christ? Did your husband die in Christ? What about a son or a daughter? Maybe a best friend? Any loved one that has died trusting in Jesus has life. God's word tells us they are presently with the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus returns, and Paul makes it very, very clear, Jesus will return. When Jesus returns, those who are presently with Jesus will return with him. In an instant, they, the returning saints, shall receive the new resurrection bodies. We're not going to be ghosts in heaven or on the new earth. We're not going to be floating about on clouds playing harp. Well, I hope not anyway. We're getting new resurrection bodies. And I know by looking, some of you are going to be there sooner than you think. But look on the bright side. Look on the bright side. You're coming back first with Jesus. You're going to be the first to get the new resurrection body. And Rita's saying, he's looking at me when he's saying that. But it's incredible. It's incredible to think that the returning saints with Jesus in a moment receive new resurrection bodies. And in the next moment, this happens, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, those born again Christians alive on earth will be suddenly transformed and caught up into the air to meet the Lord and the host that accompanies him. And so we shall always be with the Lord. This event has been called the rapture. It's, the word's not in the Bible. But this event has been called the rapture, or the great snatching away. But rapture is also described as a feeling of intense pleasure and delight. What intense pleasure and delight it will be to see my mum. I don't think so. What intense pleasure and delight it will be to be reunited with loved ones who died believing in Jesus. But tell you something better. When we were at Oakmont a few weeks ago, there was a wee woman sitting. She'd come for the first time to the service, and she really enjoyed the service. And she talked about her husband had been dead 40-odd years. And she says, you know, and one day I'm going to see him. I think it was Billy said to her, and isn't it great that one day you're going to see him again? She says, yes, but I want to see Jesus first. What intense pleasure and delight it will be when we see Jesus face to face. Oh, when the eye at last beholds what the heart has loved so long. You see, C.S. Lewis is correct about grief. No one ever told me, he said, that grief felt so like fear. Because the transitory fears that we experience at the loss of a loved one, they're part of the natural grieving process. But for Christians who've lost loved ones, who themselves trusted in Jesus, God's word couldn't be clearer. If we die, we shall immediately go to be with the Lord, and we shall be reunited with those loved ones who died believing in Jesus. Or if Jesus returns before we die, we shall in the twinkling of an eye be transformed and caught up to meet him and our loved ones in the air. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. Christian, one day, here is the promise of God. One day we shall be reunited with our loved ones who died in Christ, who died believing in Jesus. They are with Jesus now, and soon we too shall be with him and them. This is a small portion of what the Bible calls our blessed hope in Jesus. What a rapturous experience it will be to see Jesus face to face and then to be reunited with our loved ones. Christian, you couldn't have a greater promise, and it comes from the very lips of God himself. Maybe there's someone tonight here or watching on Facebook or tuning in through the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, I don't want to sound callous with what I'm about to say, but in this Bible passage, the Apostle Paul doesn't focus a lot of attention on people like you. Let me make this clear. In this passage, Paul is being asked by Christians who were concerned about dead Christians and where they are and what will become of them. Paul doesn't pay a lot of heed to unbelievers. He doesn't focus a lot of attention on those who die without trusting in Jesus. Paul is clear in his statement. An unbeliever, alive or dead, without Jesus while you are alive, you have no hope of a future life. Without Jesus when you've died, you have no hope of a future life. An unbeliever, alive or dead, has no hope of a future life. To receive the promise of everlasting life, and the promise is there for you. To receive the promise of everlasting life, you must do what God's word says. Confess your sin. Repent. Turn around from your sin. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, so that you too can be saved. You don't have to be overwhelmed by grief. You don't have to allow grief to make you so afraid. Because once you have the promise of God that those who trust in Jesus, even though they die, yet shall they live, you can go through this life with no fear of death whatsoever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight again we have been clear on the message of your word. For those who die in Christ, that means those who are Christians, those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Jesus alone for salvation, you have promised that even when we die, Lord God, we will instantly, immediately leave these bodies and go to be in his presence. And one day we shall return with him and will be given new resurrection bodies. And the believers, Lord God, who are alive on the earth will in the twinkling of an eye be transformed and given new resurrection bodies. And we shall all meet together in the air, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. Let no Christian go through this life fearing death, because we have the promise of your word. Even though we die, yet shall we live. But Father, we pray tonight for any unbeliever, for anyone who is not yet a Christian. Lord, your word is clear. In the condition that they are in right now, if they die, they have no hope whatsoever of a future life. So we pray for them, Father, please, that the Spirit of the living God would bring this truth into their hearts and minds tonight. Give them no rest, Almighty God, until they are at peace with you through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, and in him alone. And Lord, may we all take a hold of the promise of the everlasting life that is found in Jesus, your beloved Son. We ask this in his name. Amen.